Well, good morning, United.
Good morning.
It's warming up out there, isn't it? It's like two times as warm as it was this week as it was last week. You probably wouldn't put it that way, warming up, but it is two times warmer than it is last week. It was 5 degrees when I pulled out of my driveway last week, 12 degrees this week, so I think a heat wave is in store for us coming up this week. If this is your first time at United, thanks so much for coming and joining us this morning. My name's Tim Wolf. I'm the lead pastor. We're a church that's all about helping people connect to God, and we want to connect to God through what we teach, and we're doing that through this series called Crazy Busy. It's a series that's helping us get our life back in this crazy, busy world. And so thanks for being here, braving the cold weather to come out. I met a pastor friend this past week. He's at a church right around the corner, and he's like, man, my people are hibernating. So it's so cold out there. They're not even coming out. They're hibernating and staying away from the cold air. So thanks for braving the weather, being out and with us this morning. And I hope this morning, this is part two of a four-part series all about helping us connect with God in a crazy, busy world that we live in. And so it's a series that builds on itself. So if you weren't here last week, you might want to check out last week's message. It's available online. But the main idea for all this whole month of January, we're going to spend January in crazy busy, is this, is decide how you will spend your time before others decide it for you. And so we talked about not letting time handle you. Sometimes we feel that way. We feel like we're reacting to life. Life is passing us by, and I wish I had more time for this or that or the other thing. And the reality is we want to decide how to spend our time before other people decide that for us. And the main theme last week was make time. And this was our like bottom line of the message last week. It was this. It was stop saying you don't have the time and start admitting that you didn't make the time. And we talked about the difference of that feel. Like we can always say like, oh, I don't have the time, you know, to get home for dinner, or I don't have time to grab lunch with this friend, or I don't have time to go to my kid's soccer game, or whatever it might be. And we continue to say that phrase, and we wanted to do away with that. Not just in verbally saying that to one another, but in thinking that way. And admitting to ourselves like, hey, we have time. Time treats us all the same. We have 24 hours of it every day. Even if you feel like you want more hours in a day or more days in a week. But are you making time for certain things? Because you can make time for certain priorities in your life. And we talked about how we could do that. So you could check out that message from last week. But we left with this game plan and this strategy. It's these four symbols that help us get our life back. And it's simply by thinking about our time in these ways. What can we add to our schedule, take out of our schedule, increase in our schedule, or decrease in our schedule? And so even just this past few weeks, I've been decreasing some social media in my life. And I've already been able to increase more time connecting with God and praying. Because I would just blow time in the morning through social media, that now I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm able to have a longer time with God. I've been able to have some more purposeful time with my kids when I get home, and just avoiding social media altogether. And so I increased a couple things and decreased a couple things. I'm trying to get my life back as well, because I said, I'm not an expert about this at all. I don't teach as if, hey, I've figured this out. I'm on the journey with you through this series. And today we're going to get even a little bit more practical. Now that we've admitted that we have the time, we're going to talk about, well, there's still a reality. There's more opportunities in this world for us than we have the time to do. And so today is prime time. So last week was make time. Today is prime time. We're going to be talking about prime time because time is valuable. And so when I think about time being valuable, I think about my family. We love to go to the beach in the summertime. And if I want to stay in my marriage to Maria, we have to go to the beach at least once a year. And I say that half kidding, because she loves the beach so much, not because I don't think our marriage will end if we don't go. But we love the beach as a family. And so for years, we've always gone to the beach. But as our family has grown, we have 7 people in the wolf pack, 5 children, me and my wife. And so it's expensive to go to the beach if we want to split a hotel or have to get a house. And so what we've been doing for years on Maria's side of the family with her sisters and siblings that all love the beach together, we split a house together. And so we go in and we find a house in the Outer Banks. And I want to introduce you to one house. We haven't been to this house, but this house is called Big Easy. So if you've seen Big Easy before, it would be in Outer Banks, North Carolina. You would have found it on surfersound.com. And so if you want to make travel plans to the Outer Banks this year, surfersound.com, promo code Tim Wolf, and you'll get a discount, and a cut of that will go towards me. I'm only kidding. But you could find hundreds of houses like the Big Easy here that families will go to, and they spend the week there. But what you'll find when you go to those websites and you're booking a house is different prices and availability. And so one page will bring you to a page that looks like this, and it'll have the availability for the year. And you can see that in May 5th, that week, it's $895 to go to the Big Easy. So it's warmer down in North Carolina than it would be here. But as time goes on, June, it's $3,695, and then it kind of peaks to $4,495. Some of you are probably familiar with this. You've booked vacations and done this whole song and dance before, but then it goes back down in September, down to like $1,695. And so it's a great deal when you don't go. So why is it peak in the summer? And you probably know why it peaks in the middle of the summer. It's because there's the greatest demand. People want to go to the beach when it's hot out. And because of the warmer temperatures, there's more demand for more homes. And so they raise the prices on the homes. It's prime time. So those higher prices are prime time because they're valuable. See, the reality with crazy busy people is every hour is prime time. And I just don't think that's how God's called us to live. Like, man, every hour is prime time. I think we're supposed to ebb and flow a little bit like this pricing structure. And so Jesus is a great example for us to look at this morning and learning and answering this question about prime time. How do you make the time for the things that are most important to you? Because not everything has equal importance. And so how do we prioritize those things? And believe it or not, the Bible actually has something to say about this. So Jesus, and the main message of who Jesus is and why he came is because he lived, died, and was risen from the dead so that we can find new life in God and be connected with him and have a relationship with him. But Jesus also modeled a way for us to live that leads to fullness of life as well. So it's not just a message, but there's a method when we look at his life. And so we're going to look at Jesus' life in a book of the Bible called Mark. There's four biographies in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're different guys that knew Jesus, and they wrote about the life of Jesus. And so if you grab the Bible in the back, you can open up to page 472, and you're going to land in Mark's book in the very first chapter, and we're going to check out just an instance where Jesus in his crazy busy world, because he was in a crazy busy world, believe it or not, was able to find time and make it prime time. So let's read this story together. It's going to start in verse 35. And it's on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible. It says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he then prayed." And I love Mark's note here where he says, "while it was still dark." So that means he woke up really early, especially in the Mideast. That would be like 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning. Anybody here a morning person? Raise your hand if you're a morning person. Anybody wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning? Not that early. A couple people do. Good for you. That is amazing. Where are our night owls? You're like, no, thank you, right? And that's not for me. And don't worry, night owls. I'm not going to tell you. You need to now wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning because Jesus woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. If you really want to be a Christian and follow Jesus, 4 a.m. is where it starts. You'll find me laying sound asleep at 4 a.m. That is not me. And that is not what I am teaching this morning. But what we see is a habit that Jesus has in his life of regularly getting up at a certain time and doing something, praying to God. And it also says here it was a solitary place. That's really hard in our culture, in our day and age, because of this thing. A lot of us carry these around in our pocket or our pocketbooks or whatever. They don't even call it pocketbooks anymore. I'm totally a guy. Anyway, but we have these things and we're connected all the time. People can get in touch with us. They can hit us up on a text or call us, or they can post something and we can see people. We can stalk people, for crying out loud, through this thing. And we can always be in constant contact. And it's very hard for us to get alone, but yet we see Jesus getting alone. But he was always being pursued, because check out what's happening here. It goes on in verse 36, and Simon, one of his buddies, and his companions come looking for Jesus. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everybody's looking for you." Because what happened the day before was Jesus was healing people, casting out demons. There was a commotion. Word is spreading. Like, wow, there's this man that is doing miraculous things, healing people, casting demons out of people. And it's amazing. We got to meet this man. And people are coming to him for this reason. And so Jesus was in high demand. And they're like, "Jesus, where are you at? Why are you here all alone? There's people that are looking for you." And here's some of the confusion about Jesus that they're experiencing, because Jesus claimed that he was God. And so they've always known God to be a person who's in all places at all times, can meet any need. And yet Jesus was fully man as well. And so he became a person who then gave himself constraints of time, who gave himself human limitations of availability and where he could be and what he could do. And that's why we can learn from Jesus, because he was a human like you and I. So check out what Jesus says here. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, and so to nearby villages, so I can preach there also, for that is why I have come." So in case you missed that, like, people want to be healed by Jesus. Like, they're asking him to do a good thing. Isn't it a good thing to heal people and cast demons out of them? Yes, without a doubt. And yet Jesus says, "Let's go somewhere else." His disciples are like, "What? Why would you do that?" And he says why he would do that. Because this is why I've come. Why did he come? He came to preach. Here's the deal. Prime time for Jesus, his highest priority was to preach. That was his purpose. And you know what? If I go back there, they're not going to want me to preach. They're just going to want me to heal them all day and cast out demons. And I'm going to spend my time, my energy, and my priorities on preaching. And I'm not going to get sidetracked from that. And then it goes on to say, so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. See, Jesus decided how to use his time instead of letting other people decide for him how to use his time. And so he didn't come to be a philanthropist. He came to be a preacher. And Jesus faces the same pressures of being crazy busy. His world was crazy busy as well. You might say, well, he didn't have a cell phone. There was other things that don't exist then that exist now that keep us crazy busy. But the book of Mark, if you read through this whole biography of Mark about Jesus' life, you're going to see that Jesus was here and there. He was casting out demons here. He was healing people here. He was doing ministry here. He missed a meal here because he was on the run. And so have you ever thought of Jesus as like some kind of Zen master who does yoga while listening to Heart Music Channel on Spotify? That's totally not Jesus. Jesus was a man on the move. And even though his culture was different, he didn't have kids knocking on the door at 6 a.m. screaming for food. He didn't have deadlines that he had to meet at work or business meetings that he had to travel to or even a cell phone that people can get in touch with him. But he also didn't have these things. He didn't have an office where he can close the door and be alone. He didn't have lunch breaks by himself. He didn't have an apartment that was just his place where he could have alone time. What he actually had was 12 guys that were saying, "All right, Jesus, what are we doing this morning?" 12 grown men looking to him for direction. He had lepers who wanted to be healed. He had demons calling his name, people hunting him down. He had crowds of people coming after him, wanting to touch him, wanting to talk to him, wanting to trick him, and some people actually wanting to kill him. So if you thought your world was crazy busy, welcome Jesus Christ. One of the men who ever existed who had more opportunities available to him than anybody else. If he were alive today, his inbox would be more full than yours and mine. He would be getting more calls, more requests for interviews, more public speaking appearances, television appearances, and conference invites. He was in high demand. So how did he make time for what was important? And when we look at his life, here's what we see. Jesus knew what he was supposed to do, and then he oriented his life around that. So what does prime time look like for Jesus? Over and over in all four biographies in the Bible about him, all of the authors are saying the same thing. And Jesus says it over and over, "I came to preach." He knew that's what he came to do. And so he oriented his life around this. And so how does that apply to us and connect to us? Because Jesus lived on mission. I think you and I are actually supposed to live on mission too. We have a mission for our life. If I were to ask you right now, what's your mission for life? Would you have an answer? If you don't, I want you in the next week to be able to have an answer. If you do, great. I hope this message encourages you and helps you. But we're supposed to live on mission. What does that mean? Prime time, bottom line means figure out what you're supposed to do and prioritize your life around that. Because that's what Jesus did. He figured out what he was supposed to do. He knew it very clearly. And then he prioritized his life around that. The story goes on, and it helps us to see how he prioritized his life around this call to preach. And it says in verse 40, "And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling to him, 'If you will, can you make me clean?'" So is that Jesus' mission, why he came? No. So is he going to just move on? Is he just going to say, "No, I'm only here to preach"? He has a thriving ministry opportunity. And here's what happens. It says, "Moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, 'I will, so be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left this man, and he was made clean." So hold on, didn't just Jesus just not, he left one town to go to another town to preach, but he's stopping to heal people. Well, he had love and compassion in his heart. You see, I don't want us to get stuck and have tunnel vision and be just hard-hearted people. And we're going to get to that a little bit later, but it's important for us to note right now that Jesus does get sidetracked, but what's important is to note what happens next, because he stays on mission. Check this out. He says, it says, Jesus sternly charged him, this man that he just healed, and sent him away at once. This is what he sternly charged him with. He says, see that you say nothing to anyone. I can just see Jesus getting all angry. Don't tell anybody this. No, he probably didn't do that. But show yourself to a priest. Offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for a proof to them. So he doesn't want word to spread about his philanthropy. He wants word to spread about his preaching. And so he sternly warns this man because he's so focused on his mission. But here's what happens. Instead, he went out and began talking freely about it. Man, what a punk, you know? Savior of the world, couldn't even listen to him. So he spread news and so that Jesus could no longer, but here's what happens. Here's the lesson. It says Jesus no longer openly entered a town. So he had to change his game plan because of this. He was so focused on preaching that he actually says, you know what? I'm not going to enter towns now. I'm actually going to pull away. And what happened is he went to desolate places and people were coming to him now so that he could preach. And as you read on in the book of Mark and other books of the Bible, you will see Jesus regularly teaching and preaching to people. He does re-enter towns, but he had to change his game plan. But what we learn is he knew how to spend his time. And he decided ahead of time how to spend his time so that other people wouldn't decide it for him. So do you see how Jesus can change not just our life by receiving the good news that we can be forgiven of our sin, but also help us to live a life that's on mission just through these practical things that he's doing in life? And so how do we emulate this? And I want to offer to you a strategy, not the plus minus greater than equal than strategy that we talked about, but a specific one for prime time this week. So we need a strategy. I'm going to leave you with a real practical strategy, and it's this. It's figure out what you're supposed to do and prioritize your life around that. And the first part of that is figure out what you're supposed to do. So identify your priorities. Jesus clearly knew what he was supposed to do. I remember 15 years ago meeting with one of my mentors. He was a CFO at a bank, and for some reason, even though he was a CFO at a bank, he'd always take me out to lunch at Burger King. And so every other week, we would meet for a Whopper, and we'd talk about life and what was going on in our life. And there was one time where I was lamenting busyness. I was like, man, I'm so busy. I don't have time for anything, which you know, I can't say that anymore because I just said I can't say that last week. And so I don't have time for this, that, or the other thing. And he was just asking me how I was spending my time. And as I began to explain my rhythms and routines, he said, here's the three things that you're living for in your life, Tim. And he says, bodybuilding, smoking Cuban cigars, and skiing in the Alps. Now, you're probably laughing at the last two because you know that bodybuilding is one of them. Underneath this flannel, some ripped abs and guns that you've never seen before. He didn't say that to me at all. Those were not the three things that he said. I don't even remember what the three things that he said. But what I remember is being like, I don't want to live for that. Like, whatever that he outlined to me was like, but that's what you're doing. That's how you're spending your time. See, what you do with your time and who you spend it with, I can gauge what your priorities in life are. And he was telling me what my de facto priorities are, what the real priorities of my life are based on how I'm spending my time. So de facto priorities for us are really, it's just what our schedule actually looks like. And for most Americans, our priorities probably look something like this: take care of the home, meet the next deadline, and keep the people in my life relatively happy. And if we were to all examine what our de facto priorities are based on our calendars, it might look like something that we would say, no, that's not what my life is about. I don't want my life to be about those things. I don't want that to be the most important thing. You know, binge watching TV shows or being on social media all day or fretting over some project at work or school. I want my life to be about something greater and greater purpose in that. And here's what George told me in that day. He said, you choose how to spend your time. You don't let other people choose it for you. Sounds like something we talked about last week, if you're here last week. You figure out what's important to you, and then you base your life around that. And I want to give you some advice right from Jesus, not a United Church piece of advice, not a Tim Wolf piece of advice, but a piece of advice from Jesus Christ, not just on how to keep priorities, but how to form priorities. Because that's what we're talking about right now, is identifying our priorities in our life. We need to form certain priorities. You need to be able to tell people what's your mission in life. And so in the day and age that Jesus lived in, Jesus has some very specific help for us in this. And there was religious leaders that were always after Jesus. He didn't really get along with the religious leaders of the day. And here's why, one of the big reasons, is they made a whole bunch of rules up in addition to the rules that already existed in the Bible. And so they were like professional rule keepers. And Jesus came and like broke all the rules. He didn't follow any of their rules. He followed the rules of the Bible, but not the rules of the religious leaders. And so they were always trying to trick him, to corner him, to get him in trouble, to do something wrong or say something wrong. And so in this one instance, they corner him. They said, all right, you're not following our rules. So what's the greatest command that's out there? And Jesus says, all right, the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're a little bit impressed with that answer. And he actually continues to go on, though. He's like, hold on, there's a second one, and it's to love other people. And he says, in fact, you've created a whole bunch of rules to keep the rules of the Bible. I'm just going to create two. And all of the rules of the Bible can be kept just with these two. And that's to love God and love people. And if you and I just love God and love people, we'll be able to keep all the rules of the Bible together. And that's what Jesus said, and they didn't like it. But why is this important for priorities? It's because if you want to identify your priorities, here's your filter. Jesus gave it to us. This is our mission in life if we're Christ followers. Even if you're not a Christ follower this morning and you're just exploring, you probably still want to be a loving person to people, right? So I can help you be a loving person to people this morning. But these are the two rules that Jesus gave us, and we filter everything that we do. Our lives, our relationship with God, our family, our friends, our work environment, our exercise and health, hobbies, volunteering, whatever it might be that shows up on our calendar can be filtered through love God, love people. And so instead of having de facto priorities, we can have intentional priorities. And so I have intentional priorities. I'm just going to share with you my priorities in life as I've been working through this message, because I'm no expert. I'm just figuring this out as well. And so my first priority is to find joy in following Jesus. If I read the Bible and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I read that story from Jesus, I feel like what I should be spending some time is making sure that I'm intentional to find joy in following Jesus. The second thing would be then to love and lead my family. I have 5 children and 1 wife that I want to be married to for the rest of my life and love her well. 5 kids that are in my house now, and I want to be the best dad that I can be to them as long as they're in my house. And so that's my second priority right now in my season of life. The next thing for me would be then to be faithfully lead United Church. So we've started this just 3 months ago. I want to faithfully lead you all and love this church with all of my heart and with all my being to help you be connected to God. And so these are my top 3 priorities. There's other things that kind of come up as well, but these are the top 3, and I just want to boil it down to 3 for you as well. What are your top 3 priorities? And how do we align our finances and our calendars around these different priorities that flow from the teaching of Jesus? And the reality is priorities can change a little bit too. Because one decade, you might find yourself taking care of children, whereas the next decade, you could be taking care of aging parents. And so your priorities might change a little bit, or even just year to year. 1 year you start a business and every ounce of energy has gone into starting that business or some endeavor. But then next year you found out, you know what? I've lost a little bit of time and some key relationships that I want to rebuild and refocus on. And so your priorities might change to refocus on rebuilding some of those relationships. It could change within a year. Maybe your New Year's resolution is to lose some weight. And you're like, man, I want to lose 30 pounds. And 6 months in, you've lost 30 pounds. You've done great. And you feel really weak, though. You're like, you know what? I need to add 10 more pounds of muscle weight. And so your priority could change even just in your exercise regimen. You know, in different areas of life, in different seasons, in different timing of our lives, our priorities change. But they're all filtered through love God and love people. But can you, for where you're at right now in your life, whether you're a student, whether you're a mom, a dad, a retired person, identify what your prime time is supposed to be given to? That's the first part. The second part is then prioritize your life around that. So if the bottom line for prime time is figure out what you're supposed to do, then prioritize your time around that. And how can you do that? And we can all do that by setting our priorities, setting them in a certain way. Jesus' priority was to preach. And we saw how he kind of protected that, how he set that, and we can learn from his example. But Jesus turned down certain opportunities to make sure that he was pursuing that one. And the thing about when he turned down opportunities, he wasn't saying no to like coaching his son's soccer team. Think about what he said no to. He said no to healing people, people who were sick and had diseases and were coming to him wanting to be healed, he's saying, you know what? I'm going to move on. And it wasn't because they weren't good things. See, all of us have great opportunities, but are they the best opportunities for us? And so as Jesus had that lens and he was setting his priorities, he was very deliberate with how he did that. And I want to give you a deliberate step that you can take to keep the priorities that you have in your life, if you set them yet, or if you have identified them. If not, hopefully you identify them, and then you can keep them with a calendar. Now, some of you are like, yes, calendar, I love that. Let me pull out my calendar right now, figure this all out. Others of you are like, oh man, a calendar, really? I hate calendars. I hate trying to figure out and manage life that way. Here's the thing, this can help everybody, whether you keep a calendar or not, because the reality is y'all show up to different places at different at same time every week. Something called work, you wake up in the same rhythms and routines, you go to sleep with the same rhythm and routine, you go to work, you meet people, you have lunch, same rhythms and routines. We all have a calendar, whether it's on a piece of paper or whether it's in your head. And so what I want to do this morning is give you a blank calendar. I'm going to wipe the slate clean and call it a fixed calendar, because what we're going to do is fix things into this calendar. We're going to say, if I want to live for A, B, and C, A, B, and C need to be on my calendar. So what do? This is a picture of what my calendar would look like if I were to put it down in paper format for you guys. And so first, I put God on my calendar. I just said my highest priority is to be a joyful follower of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to put God, who's my highest priority, on my calendar. Now, if you look at my calendar, I actually don't have God on my calendar at all. But I'm just doing this for illustration's sake. But if I were to ask you, like, hey, do you want to pursue God or pursue a relationship with God? Even if you're just exploring relationship with God and this whole thing is new to you, you know, this could be helpful just still to be purposeful about it. But if it's not on your calendar right now, I would argue God's not important to you. The things that are important to you are on your calendar. You give them time in this crazy, busy world. And I don't mean that to be a punk or to get on your case. I'm just saying that because I do desire for you to connect with God. And the way that you connect with God best is by having a consistent time with him, where you just open up the Bible and you read and you hear from God and you spend some time praying with him. I want that for you. And God should be a priority for all of us. But church is also up there too, because at church is where I learn and grow with other Christians. And so even if I wasn't on staff or on a stage teaching the Bible, I would be at church every Sunday morning as a follower of Jesus Christ, and I would fix that into my calendar. And I would encourage you this year to fix that into your calendar if that's not a regular routine. It'll help you so much as you pursue God. But what's the second thing I put on my priority list? So there's God, but the second thing I had was family. And so family needs to show up on my calendar. And so I'm not going to schedule other things yet because I want to make sure I schedule my family. And so here's some times that I spend with family. Friday is my day off and it's a family day. And I make sure I'm intentional to be with my family and to be undistracted to be with them. And there's other moments of the week where I'm with my family. So I fix them into my schedule. And then the next thing that I put on my schedule, one of my third priority, was to faithfully lead United Church. And so for me, that's also work. So all of us have different work and professions where we have different schedules. And so here would be a Monday through Thursday week with other times of the week where there's work and time given to work objectives for United. That shows up on my calendar. It's important to me. Even within work, our work worlds, oh my goodness, we could talk about prioritizing things so much, but I'm just going to talk about work in general because we can all relate to that. Or maybe it's school or something else that we spend a majority of time with. So I put that on. I fix that into my schedule. But there's other things that I do as well. So those are my top three priorities, and I fix them in there to make sure they're important. But then there's still time left, and there's space there for other things that I want to pursue. And I run 5 days a week, I try to at least, with my two oldest daughters. And so they're my running partners, and we go for a run at the end of the workday and right before dinner time. And so there's running or exercise that's in there. I also want to have friends in my life. I want to be able to connect with friends and have meaningful relationships. And so in that purple box, groups. And I'm really excited because at the end of February, we're going to start small groups here at United Church. We're looking at already 8 to 10 different types of small groups meeting throughout the week where we can connect and have healthy friendships with other Christians that'll help us pursue Jesus Christ. I need friends like that. You need friends like that. We all need friendship. And we can continue to go through this and fill in other things in our schedule or my schedule where we can volunteer, what other priorities we might have, and put that in a fixed calendar. See, if it's important to you, figure out what it is, and then put it on your schedule. And don't let things mess with it. But what happens when there's other things that come up. Life gets messy. Unexpected things happen. There's parties and celebrations, hangouts, dinner invites, friends to hang out with, and unplanned times. Well, you shift some things around. It's not an inflexible schedule. I mean, even to think about accident, injuries, or crisis that come up, where there's a time to mourn and a time to kind of reprieve a little bit from life. Remember Jesus exercised compassion. I told you to remember that moment in that story. Because he exemplifies flexibility, but he always reorients himself back to the mission of his life. We need to have flexibility, but reorient our lives back to our mission. We need to, like Jesus, decide how we're going to spend our time before others decide it for us. And so a calendar, a blank calendar, a blank slate. Choose what's important to you and actually fix it on that calendar. This week, will you take time to figure out what those priorities are and make sure you're protecting them through your calendar? Make time for what's important to you. So prime time is to figure out what you're supposed to do and prioritize your life around those things. This is all for the bigger purpose of not just having organized lives and feeling like we have life put together and figured out, but it's so that we can do all that God's called us to do. See, God does tell us what his will is for our life. It's to connect with him, to love God and to love people. And when we think intentionally about that through our calendar, we can live the life that God wants to have for us. Next week, we're going to talk about find time. So last week was make time. This week was prime time. Next week is find time. So if you've ever gone through a day, I think Tamara already mentioned it this morning. Hey, have you ever gone through the day and feel like, where did all the time go? And you're like, I had all these things I was planning to do. Where did all the time go? I feel like I lost time. I'm actually going to help you find time with one word. And with one word, we're going to find time in our lives that we can do the things that we really want to do. But let me pray for us to help us prime time.